A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. As always, a big thank you to our good partners at Horicon Bank, the good community-minded people at Horicon Bank. Lots of firsts happen in our days each and every day, especially when you're a college student, right? And we're getting into this holiday time when many kids have their first trip back home. You're coming home for the first time. You have all this new life experience around you, all these new freedoms. Now you're back home for the first time with your parents in a new role. It's a pretty interesting time, especially for first-generation students. If you're a first-generation student in college, you have even more opportunities, even more challenges as you navigate your academic and community life. So today we're going to attempt to create a roadmap, if you will, for coming back home and a roadmap for that first-time college student. Dr. Kimo Ayun, the president of Marquette University, and Marilyn Jones, who is the inaugural director at the Lamona Center for Student Success at Marquette University, will both join us in studio. We'll have a good wide-ranging discussion on higher education. I have a lot of questions around acceptance rates. Like, why are some colleges super high, some are low? Like, how do kids process that? And then we'll talk about Kimo's presidential address from a couple weeks ago as well. But as we do each and every beginning of the show, we're going to go two up.
Now it's time for the
two, count 'em, two.
Two up on the upswing.
First up, these are business items, headlines, things that I'm seeing that I think you should know about. Number one, some Shorewood restaurant news. There are some big changes coming to a former Blue's Egg and Buttermint space. Now, this is the Black Shoes Hospitality Group that most recently was in this space on Oakland Avenue in the village of Shorewood. The four lease signs on this space are down. The windows are all papered up. And the word on the street, this is just the word on the street. Well, maybe on social media, and maybe I've seen it a few other places too, but the scoop is that a top 25 Milwaukee restaurant is quietly preparing a second location at this location on Oakland Avenue. I was going to maybe keep the name under wraps because, you know, you don't want to give the name until it's 100% official and everything is buttoned up. No matter what, though, it's really energizing, I think, from the community perspective, to see local favorites expanding and investing all across the area. 11-teen restaurant, the Lebanani House, right now in Greenfield. I've heard just amazing things about the food, right? You have wonderful homemade hummus, falafel, shawarma. Lebanani House, opening up a second location in the village of Shorewood. I don't have a date on it yet, but again, it's exciting to see when local restaurants are taking that risk to expand their footprints in greater Milwaukee. Second up, coffee's next wave. Saw this story in the Wall Street Journal recently. They highlighted Dutch Brothers, which is an upstart Pacific Northwest coffee chain, really a brand to watch, especially among younger coffee drinkers and younger high sugar content drinkers. But the future of coffee is less about tradition. People like me that just go old school black coffee, right? It's more about sweet, iced, colorful drinks that are matching the social media trends of today. Starbucks is dominating still, ever changing for sure. Dunkin' gaining ground on Starbucks a little bit from a coffee and location standpoint. But if you're going to meet the Gen Z tastes head on, watch for brands like Dutch Brothers to continue to expand across the country. I'm guessing they're looking at the Midwest for expansion. And I could see that happening in the next year or so. Again, no matter what, I'm kicking it old school and sticking to my half regular, half decaf option that I do. We haven't done a upswing coffee index in a while, so let's take a look at coffee prices across the area.
Is that coffee?
Time for a quick look at your coffee and how much it costs. It's the Upswing's Coffee Index.
I stopped at the City Market in my beautiful village of Shorewood today. Again, I got my 12-ounce coffee to go. You got to pour your own at the City Market locations. There is a location in the village of Shorewood. There's one out near the medical complex. Four blends of Valentine coffee to choose from. And get this, only $2.50. $2.50 for a 12-ounce coffee, which is cheaper than the national Starbucks and cheaper than some of the locals around the area as well. You add the 15-cent tax, and I was out the door for $2.65. Not a bad deal. The Upswing Coffee Index. Everyone thinks, hey, coffee prices are just going to continue to grow. But a local keeping the prices low. Coming up next, joining us in studio, president of Marquette University, Dr. Kimo Ayun, and Marilyn Jones, the director of the Lamona Center for Student Success.
It's time for Marquette on the Move with Marquette University President Dr. Kimo Ayun on the Upswing.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. November, among other things, is First Gen Month with a national focus on recognizing and celebrating first-generation college students, those whose parents did not complete a four-year college degree. We're celebrating this all across the United States and right here in the fine city of Milwaukee. Marilyn Jones is the inaugural director of the Lamona Center for Student Success at Marquette University, and Dr. Kimo Ayun, president of Marquette University, both join us in studio today. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Of course. So, Marilyn, first, just tell us about yourself. Give us your life story, if you can, in 35 seconds.
35 seconds. Okay, perfect. Well, let me start by saying that I'm a proud Costa Rican immigrant.
Okay.
I came with my family directly to Milwaukee when I was 12 years old.
Okay.
And we've been living here since then. So okay. I've now lived most of my life here. So, and I'm still very connected to my Costa Rican roots, but I love Milwaukee. This is the city where, you know, embrace me. And, this is where I went to college. I went to Marquette University.
Nice.
And that's where I really connected with the joy of learning and growing with others as a community. And you know, after that, I joined higher education, and
okay.
I was a faculty member at Cardinal Stritch before I came to Marquette, and now I serve.
This proud graduate.
Place.
I have an MBA from Cardinal Stritch.
Oh, my
goodness. Undergrad from Marquette, of course.
Yes. Amazing connections.
Yes, there. Yes. Very good. So, as I mentioned, November is First Gen Month. You're both first-generation students. Tell us a little bit about your first-gen story and kind of how it helps kind of approach and help shape the current students at Marquette, Kimo.
Yeah, I'll start. Neither of my parents graduated from high school. And I would say as a first-gen student, you don't know what you don't know.
Yeah.
So trying to find that pathway. And luckily, I had good mentors. I understood that education was the key. And so for me, Marquette this year, our class is 22% first-gen.
Hmm.
Seeing the power of education and how it shapes who you are and what you can do, as the leader of Marquette University, I'm constantly thinking about how do we make sure that those students all, but especially those students, are successful, because we understand the ripple effect will far outlive any of us.
Yeah, I mean, that generations down the road, it's got to start somewhere, right? Marilyn, give me. You talked about your origin story, but from a student perspective,
right.
Talk about that.
So when I started at Marquette, I had only been in this country for 6 years.
Okay.
So I found myself struggling with the English language, especially with academic.
Mm-hmm.
vocabulary, and it was hard. I feel like, you know, I was questioning whether I was going to be able to do it. I wasn't sure. I mean, I'm just like President Kim Il-yoon, and I'm the first one to go to college, and there were so many unknowns, and it was a roller coaster.
Yeah.
All those, you know, you're so excited that you're there, and you're bringing all your dreams and hopes and those of your family with you, but then, you know, you're struggling to see if you can fit there, if you can do it. But I was also very, very lucky that I was part of the Education Opportunity Program. And just like President Ayun was saying, those mentors, the people that can guide you through those unknowns and can help you ask the right questions, they were there for me. Yeah. They embraced me. They showed me love. And they helped me thrive. So that's really what I've taken with me all these years, that love, compassion for students, and meeting them where they're at.
So having that support and that community around you was just so important. And we're going to talk about your work at the Lamona Center later in the show. But having that basis kind of set the tone for where you are today in your career.
It did. You know, it's about connections, really. It's about when you don't have anyone there to guide you, it's really about all those other people who can help you believe that you can accomplish this.
Yeah.
Because you're there, you're excited, but you do doubt, and sometimes you even feel guilty that you're there and others are not there with you, like your siblings, you know? So, yeah, that community really is what gets you through it. Like, you're trying to navigate this fog, you know? Like, we've talked about that with first-gen students. Like, you hear people calling you towards the what's right, what's going to help you succeed, right? And those are the mentors. They help get rid of that fog and that, you know, complexity of navigating higher education.
Very good. Dr. Ayun, we're going to dig into some higher ed headlines later in the show. But first, let me say happy birthday.
Thank you.
Celebration
Thank you.
All week long. It was last Saturday, correct?
Correct. But we do it the whole month.
Yes, indeed. You got to celebrate all month. You are now 1 week removed from your first president's address on campus. How'd that go, and what was your message to not only campus but the entire Milwaukee community?
You know, first to get hundreds of people on campus to come by. Grateful for that. Grateful to be done with the first year. Looking forward to the next year as we move into that. You know, the message was really three pieces. First, talk about momentum. Mm-hmm. You know, Marquette, we're setting records on applications, about retaining our students, fundraising. Everything you look at is we're doing really well. Gratitude. I'm thankful. As a Catholic Jesuit institution, we're called to transform the lives of our students. Just trying to show gratitude for our faculty and staff who do that work. They're on the ground changing the lives of our students. And then lastly, hope. I believe we have a hope-filled future and stories of, you know, hope with our faculty research or our staff and the programs, but mostly our students. I'm hopeful when I see that they're inspired to serve others, that will continue on long after they are graduated from Marquette.
Very good. When we come back, I want to get into some of those student stories from both of your perspectives. And Dr. Ayun, I want to talk about acceptance rates. I have a senior in high school at home, and him and his friends are touring colleges throughout the country. And I just kind of want to level set on acceptance rates and kind of have a couple questions for you. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Dr. Kim Il-yoon and Marilyn Jones from Marquette University join us in studio. Dr. Il-yoon, question on acceptance rates. And I want to know kind of how they reflect the school's goals, the size and reputation. Because you get a lot of input on acceptance rates as you're touring schools, right? The students have certain perspectives. The parents have certain perspectives. Ooh, they only accept X percentage. Oh, they accept X percentage. How do you level set that with, like, ooh, how hard is it to get into this school?
Yeah. You know, and I would say it's the alumni also.
Yes, we do.
So alumni, I think the more selective an institution, it makes people feel better that their degree is worth a little bit more.
True.
You know, what I would say is about acceptance rates is, you know, part of the, we know students, they look at it and they judge schools and the quality of their schools based on their acceptance rate. Now, I would say is the true measure should be is what's the average GPA, what's the average score of students who are coming in, because if you attract many really quality students, your acceptance rate could be high because you're attracting a greater, better caliber of student. But, you know, from an institutional perspective, what an acceptance rate does is it makes it easier to fill your classes. It makes it easier to draw people from outside of your area. When you have a lower acceptance rate, you tend to draw a higher caliber of students who are more prepared to start college. Right. And what we hear is then those conversations are at a higher level. The students tend to retain at a higher level. Mm-hmm. They're just more college ready. Okay. And so that's one of the benefits it brings to any institution.
Yeah. Well, and part of the value, I think, is once you get to school, no matter where you are, the diversity of thought there should come from all over. And those connections really matter while you're at school and then postgraduate. Marilyn, from your kind of frontline perspective supporting students, what are you hearing about their aspirations and even more so some of their challenges right now?
Right. Well, when it comes to aspirations, you know, there's that hope of upward mobility and stability. Students are, you know, hoping to create better opportunities for themselves, for their families. They want to graduate on time. They find a career that's, you know, where they feel valuable, where they feel like they can make the most impact. But at the same time, they're expressing a lot of different, you know, concerns about financial, so they show financial stress.
Right.
They come with these mental health
pressures. If you're not
pressures.
Working full time while you're at
right.
school, like you have those concerns.
Right.
Sure.
And we do have students who need to work because
exactly.
they're helping their families,
yep.
right? And, you know, we see the mental health pressures to lots of anxiety mm-hmm. and academic stress and feeling overwhelmed with balancing, you know, school, work, life responsibilities. I think there's also that the navigating the whole system, like how do I do this? How do I do that? So that causes stress, and belonging and confidence is a big piece. You know, not just social and emotional belonging, but academic belonging. Do I have what it takes to do this? And I would say another big one is career readiness.
Right.
So from questions about choosing a major to, you know, am I ready for the market today? Students come with all those pressures while they're going through a transition, a really challenging mm-hmm. transition, right? Where
yeah.
they're discovering who they are, what their talents are, mm-hmm. and where they're going to go next.
I want to, a couple questions for Dr. Ayer, and I want to come back and talk about like the specific programs through the Lamona Center that students are getting into right now. But Dr. Ayun, as you look kind of on the umbrella funding, access, affordability, student support, how do you manage all those balls in the air from your presidential lens?
Yeah, I mean, you manage them carefully.
Yeah.
But the number one, you know, access is it's about prioritizing. And I manage by prioritizing scholarships, which is what provides access, is number one thing that we need to continue to do. In the last campaign, we raised over $800 million, $330 million for scholarships. That's what helps to make us. We're a top 100 university. There are 74 institutions, private institutions in the top 100. Marquette's one of those, and we're the third least expensive. Mm-hmm. So controlling internal costs, but getting scholarship dollars, and then investing in things like Lamona's to retain the students, and then Wellness and Rec to make sure that they have lifelong health and happiness.
Yeah. You announced a major gift this week that's going to extend some scholarship programs known for their commitment to community service. Mm-hmm. Do you want to talk about that a bit?
Yeah, the Burke Foundation, which is an incredible foundation that has invested in Marquette students, you know, specifically focusing on how do our students engage in service and give back to the community. So additional long-term scholarship and support dollars for those students will ensure that we're going to continue to make an impact and be able to go national in selecting students for such a prestigious program that's really at the heart of who they are and the heart of what Marquette does as a Catholic Jesuit institution.
And that was an additional $4.8 million gift for Burke Scholars Program and the Trinity Fellows Program. I've had a few Trinity Fellows mentees through the Marquette Mentors Program and just the commitment to service at a young level, it's amazing. So the dollars are more than well spent, for sure.
It makes it so much easier for us to be able to do our work because of great supporters like the Burke Foundation.
And Marilyn, at the Lamona Center, talk to us about some of the specific programs and initiatives. If we have parents or grandparents listening, sometimes you're kind of removed from the student scene and kind of want to know, like, what are the students asking for and what do they need in their day-to-day?
Okay. Well, first of all, I want to highlight that we have one of the most amazing retention rates from first year to second year, so for the 2024 freshman class. And I wanted to say thank you to President Kimo Ayun for all the efforts in supporting our students. So with the Lamona Center, we wanted to reimagine student success into a physical space. We wanted to create those habits that would help students succeed, right? So some of those habits is it's understanding what do successful students need to do, right? So we now made it easy for students to come to this space and access academic resources that are important to them, right? So in terms of initiatives and resources, we have the center. We have the new Ask Me desk.
Okay.
That is life-changing.
It's kind of that one-stop shop for students, knowing that they can go and get any question they have answered.
Yes,
and I mean,
it is.
It's been 30 years since I've been in school, but I really wish I had a location like that back when I was at school.
You know, we hope that our students know who to go to, but there are many that might not know who to ask questions. So normalizing that, knowing that it's okay to ask questions was really important for us. Now, we talked a little bit about that procrastination, academic anxiety, stress. We also brought into the space the Academic Resource Center. So they offer tutoring and academic coaching. And that is transformative, you know, sitting down with the student, helping them understand what's working in terms of study habits, like how they can tweak that, how they can work life and balance work and school and responsibilities better. That is really what the students are asking, right? Because we know procrastination is a thing. We know there are fears.
Right.
We sometimes they don't know how to break down an assignment, an essay.
Yeah.
We help them with that.
And students, another thing they want is a voice in the decision-making process.
Yes.
And when we come back, I want to get into the voice of the student on campus, because I know it's one of those things that is ever-changing. You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Community building, student voices, collaboration, specifically from a first-generation college student perspective. Dr. Kimo, as president, how do you make sure that student voices and needs are reflected, especially in major university decisions? And there's a lot of change right now. There's a lot of politics everywhere. How do you make sure that the students' voices are heard?
Yeah, that's important. The first way is I meet regularly with our student government representatives, so the president and the vice president. We have standing meetings.
Okay.
I use them to be able to give me a sense of the pulse of what's happening on campus, what's important. And initially to that, you know, I've got a standing, go out to coffee with students. And so anytime students see me on campus, I'll buy them Starbucks. They just have to tell me, you know, what's on their mind, what we can do better, what's going well. I host annual lunches with students. They sign up and we talk about, I ask them about what's happening and what can we do to improve the student experience. And then lastly, just going out and I go to a lot of student activities and being present and being able to talk to them, whether or not it's at a basketball game or at a dance competition or at a showing of a movie, just being present in the community. And so it's good. Our campus is relatively small, so I can walk across campus and be exposed to a lot of students. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, I was walking by and they were smashing pies in faces. And so I paid in them out and then they smashed a pie in my face too.
There you go.
But it's just being part of that community.
Yeah, that's good. So, Marilyn, what's a story that kind of captures how students are shaping the campus conversations and driving that change when they walk into the Lamona Center?
Right. Well, first of all, I want to highlight that our students are amazing and they're leading change in so many ways, from their community service and engagement to projects to leading student organizations. But what I love the most is the students feel like they're in a safe space where they can speak up. So when I started about 2.5 years ago, I had several students who came up to me and talked about their experiences as commuters. So I wanted to highlight that, but because when we're talking about first gen, there's that intersection, right?
Yeah.
Commuters.
And well, and there's a different experience for the commuter students as composed to the student that's living on campus, right?
And this is a population that has been increasing at Marquette, and we're focusing on supporting them better. But, you know, it was amazing. The students brought their concerns, shared that, you know, like they needed more spaces on campus where they could feel like at home and, you know, connect with peers. And I just heard them saying, like, this is what we want. And since then, students have been engaged in so many ways about these commuter support that we provide on campus. They've engaged in focus groups. We have the Student Commuter Association doing programming in connection with Limones, with the AMU. We even had the SAHI, that's the Student Affairs in Higher Education graduate students, who say, like, they were really interested in being part of this conversation. Yeah. And they actually completed their capstone with us. They actually went and talked to different institutions. They did a literature review, and they provided suggestions for how to do this work. Now, Limona Center has a commuter lounge. We are connecting it. So their ideas were there from the beginning, and they have been amazing partners in how we think about the way we support students and how we coordinate those services.
And Dr. Ayun, as you look at your vision for Marquette in terms of inclusivity and supportiveness, how do you channel that each and every day, kind of from your lens of you're mayor of the campus?
Yeah, you know, a couple of years ago, we changed a position, vice president for belonging and student affairs. And it was belonging because if we make all our people feel on as if they belong, then we will be able to be more inclusive and we'll be a more supportive environment. You know, from my end, it's continuing to support those initiatives that help us to achieve those goals, to continue to go out and tell the story, but continue to hold people accountable, those people who are doing the work, to be able to identify what their goals are and how they're going to achieve those goals and make sure that I'm integral to making sure that those things happen.
Yeah. Marilyn, what's your advice for students and parents tuning in as we all kind of face the future of higher education? There's a lot of stats out there. Obviously, costs continue to escalate. What's your advice from your lens?
I want them to give them credit to themselves for being where they're at, right? And, you know, it takes courage to do something different, especially for first-gen students to, you know, go into a new setting, not knowing whether they're going to succeed or not. But, you know, I want to tell them that embrace all of it. Be curious. Ask questions. That is exactly what successful students do. Create connections with their professors and staff. There are so many people on campus who are ready to help the students. And you know, finally, I think the last thing I want to remind them is that We all make mistakes, and making mistakes is part of the the process. So how you bounce back from that is very important. We are here to support them.
Yeah. So, how many questions are you getting about AI each and every day, Dr. Kimo, as you walk through campus? Is it just omnipresent, or is there just an acceptance?
It's on campus and off campus, and so you know, I was with the Rotary group yesterday, MMAC, the day before that. It came up in both of those meetings. And on campus, right, as a Catholic Jesuit institution is thinking about ethical principles and how do we infuse that in the human part of this, not a day goes by where we're not having questions about AI. What's our responsibility? How do we engage it in our curriculum? How do our students use it? And these are all things that we are dealing with right now. Luckily, we have Andrew DeGeer out of business who's helping us to manage that. He's doing a great job about bringing people together.
Mm-hmm. All right. When we come back for a final segment, I have some Milwaukeean life questions for both of you. We're talking with Marilyn Jones and Dr. Kimo Ayun from Marquette University. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, Dr. Kimo Ayun, and Marilyn Jones from Marquette University. Spending some time with us in studio. I'm very thankful for your time. So coming up this next week, we have a lot of kind of first trips back home for college students, right? It's always an interesting time. If we can remember that time, you coming home for the first time as a adult, you have new freedoms, new life experience, and now you're back home with a new role. That's a fun challenge for families. I want to just quickly ask you both, you know, from your lens at Marquette and from a parental lens, what's your advice for the first-time college student coming back home for the first break?
I would say give permission to yourself to disconnect for a minute and be fully present with your loved ones, if you're visiting friends, parents, let the students reconnect with their friends and, you know, just have a little break.
Take a deep breath.
Spend time with your family. Because when students go away, I think they create a new life, new friends, new experiences. It's the first time for any of them back with all of their friends from high school, so they'll want to spend time with them. But the people who are having the hardest time is mom and dad, mostly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Spend time. Lean into them.
Yes. I'm taking notes. I'm a year away from this, but I'm preparing myself mentally right now. As you look back on the last year, give us a favorite moment that you're probably going to discuss at Thanksgiving dinner, Marilyn.
Well, I was thinking more like professionally, like the Lamona Center opening up and that inauguration and seeing so many peers and people show up. That was beautiful. And, you know, my mom, my parents, they're so proud. They, you know, reflecting on this beautiful year. It's probably part of that conversation.
Dr. Ayun, a year into the presidency, what's your favorite moment?
Well, I'm going to go with my youngest daughter is a student at Marquette, a freshman, moved into Humphrey Hall in August. So I'm looking forward to my memory is moving in or into the dorms and spending that first semester or half a semester so far, and her trying to dodge people knowing that she is the daughter of the president of the university. And a lot of stories around where that has been successful and unsuccessful.
Yes. How about a favorite book or podcast? I mean, other than The Upswing that you're listening to on a regular version, but on a regular basis, but a book or a podcast that you recommend?
Oh, I would recommend Let Your Life Speak by Palmer.
Okay.
Parker.
Do you find our students asking for books outside of textbooks at the Lamona Center?
You know, I have shared a couple of books on leadership, like there to leave to students.
I'm always wondering, do I give books to my mentees at Marquette, knowing that they have so much work and sometimes they just roll their eyes. You're giving me another book to read? But I always like to recommend books that kind of help take them outside of their academic life for a while and really embrace, like, the life.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea because these are books they probably otherwise wouldn't read.
Exactly.
And, you know, so many students nowadays read on Kindles and other devices. So to give them something physical that's portable that they're going to keep. Because when it's on a device, you don't ever look at it again. But, you know, you could put it on your bookshelf and you can make notes on it and you can take it off. So I like the hard book still.
Yeah, very good. Do you have a favorite book that you're recommending or
reading
I'm actually
reading right now is a book called Thinking Clearly.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I'm a work in progress, but it's, you know, it kind of goes through about how do you clear the system so that you could think clearly to make good judgments and good decisions.
Okay. I don't reread a lot of books, but I'm rereading When Breath Becomes Air, and it is a memoir of a neurosurgeon that had terminal lung cancer. But it's his faith journey and just a really, really powerful book. So put that one on the list for sure. Finally, a Thanksgiving family ritual. Marilyn, from your lens, what's on the table and what are you really looking forward to?
Oh, my goodness. A very loud dinner with my family over at my sister's. Yes, having Costa Rican food, Puerto Rican food, you know, lasagna, ham. I can't wait.
So you blend the Costa Rican traditions with the American traditions?
Yes. Part of my sister's family is Puerto Rican, so now it's Really awesome gathering with tons of food.
Dr. Ayoun, what's Thanksgiving going to look like for you?
Well, similarly, it gets loud, but the tradition I like the most is Thanksgiving morning. We always start out with sticky buns and oranges and scrambled eggs, and it's just a quiet time where we're all just together before the craziness begins. But that's such a special time when it's first thing in the morning.
Very good. We'll have a wonderful Thanksgiving, and we'll see you both again very soon.
Yeah, you too. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
We'll be right back for the final segment of The Upswing. Finally, here on The Upswing, the World Series seems like it was just years ago, but it was only a couple weeks ago. I got to say congratulations to the Dodgers. Also, a bigger congratulations to Milwaukee Brewers manager Pat Murphy for Manager of the Year. You know, we beat the Cubs. We, the Brewers, beat the Cubs and Craig Counsell. We got to keep that electricity and that enthusiasm. It's a true asset to community building as we build buzz for spending and tourism and small business across all seasons, especially as we're heading into the holiday season right now. It's important to look at the sports calendar and support our local communities and our venues. If I may, let me give six quick actions that you can take right now to extend that feeling we all had while the Brewers were winning. Six quick things you can do right now. Number one, take a look at your About Us page on your company website. It should be vibrant and current with radiant Milwaukee photos and references. Let customers see where you're rooted and where you cheer for your hometown teams. Number two, take a walk in a neighborhood that isn't your own. It can really create a fresh perspective and it sparks connections and ideas that you can't get from your usual routes. It's holiday shopping time. Go to areas and stores that you otherwise wouldn't. Number three, this is a simple thing to do that can extend that you-rah-rah spirit. Refer a great local contractor to friends and family. Word of mouth, it's kind of that oxygen that we all need for the local trades. Next, buy a membership to a local museum, performing arts group, and actually go. Small investments, yes, we want to support our teams, but small investments in the cultural space have lasting impact. Maybe it's a gift idea too, right? Next, send out gifts that are anchored in your community. Hometown swag, bonus points if there's a friendly rivalry angle that carries Milwaukee's brand even further. If you're sending corporate gifts this year, send a gift with Wisconsin flavor. Finally, this is a little much for some people, but do a private strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats, a SWOT analysis for your favorite local business, and just email it to the owner. Say, I'm a big fan. I want to help you succeed. I want you to be focused on the customer, on feedback. I want to cheer you on. Here are some things that I think, good, bad, and ugly, about your store. Because you know what? I want to be a champion for even more in greater Milwaukee. Thanks for listening to The Upswing. A big thank you again to Dr. Kimo Ayoun and Marilyn Jones from Marquette University.